Hi, I'm Emma Snyder, Associate Editor of SearchFinancialApplications.com. Today I'm talking with two team members from MyPro Consulting, Ann Meyer, who is the Practice Director for PeopleSoft Human Capital Management, and Larry Zagata, who is the Managing Partner and Vice President for Solution Delivery. MyPro is a consultancy based out of Milford, Michigan that focuses solely on Oracle PeopleSoft implementations, upgrades, and optimizations. Today we're talking about the latest release, which is PeopleSoft 9.2. I was hoping we could start off with you guys going over some of the most important new features contained in PeopleSoft 9.2.
Sure. I'll take the lead on that one. In PeopleSoft 9.2, I'm speaking specifically of HCM, they really have focused on making it an environment that is very productive for the user, so there was definitely a concentration on increasing user productivity. And they accomplished that in a few ways. One pretty significant enhancement is called the Work Center. So it's the capability to have high usage users have a one-stop shop for all the activities that they do. So they basically have their own configurable personal dashboard where they can execute transactions, where they can get information through reports and queries. They can set up alerts. So if I'm a timekeeper and I want to be sure that people are not taking PTO beyond a certain number of days within a certain period of time, I can set up alerts that let me know when that happens, and then I can take action on those alerts. So it's a much more productive environment for the user.
Now, say, on the financial side, work centers are also one of the most advanced features that they've included in 9.2. And beyond just the 9.2 application, it also takes advantage of the latest tool set, 8.53. And that tool set enables the end user to really improve not just productivity, but their ability to embed information throughout PeopleSoft, utilizing personable dashboards, utilizing related content, which allows them to pull in information throughout PeopleSoft, eases the navigation, improves their business intelligence capabilities in terms of improving the way they actually do business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like this is a pretty significant release. Is that fair to say?
I'd say it's significant in that it is really focused on user productivity. I wouldn't say it's significant in the fact that so much has changed from the internal infrastructure that it's a difficult release to get to. So it's significant in that the mindset of Oracle with the PeopleSoft 9.2 is really focused on the user. And when I listen to them in talking about 9.2, they constantly refer to the fact that they've listened to the customers, and this is what the customers ask for. So I think it's significant in that way, but it's not, the underlying structure has not undergone a significant change.
So then might upgrading to 9.2 be a little bit easier than, an easier upgrade than some have been in the past?
Yeah, I think so. And also the tool set, as some people have upgraded recently even to 9.1, the underlying tool set has added a lot of capabilities to make that an easier upgrade.
Okay. So what would you say, what are some of the advantages that customers can expect to gain by upgrading to 9.2?
Well, I think, like we said, the productivity, which is very important to a lot of people. I think it also, because it's becoming more and more configurable, PeopleSoft was always very configurable, but now the underlying transactions themselves can be configured, so you can have these things like activity guides that guide a user through an activity, and the one that they deliver happens to be in benefits with life events. So I can, when it's time for me to record a marriage or a birth, I can do that online, and I have a guide showing me how to do that. But what's really cool about that is that I, as an organization, can change the change the activities in the order that they appear. I could have new activities that are very specific to my organization. So it's becoming much more configurable from a transactional standpoint. I think that's a big advantage because it eliminates the need to customize.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, and I would add, as we talked about earlier with Tools 8.5.3, the ability to streamline navigation. Users can really avoid traditional menu paths and enable relevant, actionable content within their actual transaction path. So it's much easier for them to be able to navigate, get the information that they need to do their job without having to follow traditional menu paths, without having to pop up new windows. So there's a lot of advancements in terms of that usability.
Mm-hmm.
And also just from a maintenance of the system, so there's a much more flexible way to get your maintenance. So customers that have customized in the past can't apply these large maintenance packs because it affects too many things. And now Oracle has a new mode of delivering maintenance where you can actually just take one patch that you'll sign on. It'll figure out what the prerequisites are for that patch and deliver that to you. So it's not, when you actually need a fix, it's not having to go through a major application of an upgrade patch, upgrade bundle.
So I know it's difficult to generalize, you know, because PeopleSoft implementations have been, been around in some companies for quite a while and pretty highly customized. But is there kind of a ballpark time frame that you would say users could expect it would take to upgrade to this latest release?
Yeah, you're right. It's difficult to say that because, you know, we've had rapid upgrades where with clients with very little customization, and we've done that in a matter of a few months. And then we have other organizations that maybe don't have a lot of customizations, but they take advantage of the upgrade to rethink their business processes. So I don't think I really could give you a pat answer on that because it does depend on the organization, what they're trying to accomplish with the upgrade, and if they're customized or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to elaborate that a little bit further, you can certainly take just a pure technical upgrade approach to get yourself on the latest release. But if you're going to reevaluate your entire business processes, if you're going to look at eliminating customizations, if you're going to look at taking advantage of all the new features and functionality and eliminating any third-party applications you had or integrations, all those factors will go into play in terms of the length of time it's going to take to upgrade.
Are there any potential snags that you found in the release that maybe could give users some trouble?
Well, when we did do testing of both the financials and the HCM in a pre-release version, and as all pre-releases, we found some things that didn't work as expected, but there wasn't anything major. We logged it all with Oracle, and development followed back up with us and told us how they were addressing the issues. So we didn't see anything major. You know, a button wasn't working the way I expected it to and things like that. But it seems pretty solid. They did take a little extra longer time with 9.2 than they anticipated. So I think it's been tested really well by the partners and also the pre-release early adopter customers.
So Mark Hurd has been quoted a few times saying that he expects there's still going to be a PeopleSoft track at Oracle Open World 2022, so 10 years from now. But in your opinion, I mean, at this point, you know, does it make more sense to start moving over to Fusion HCM, so a cloud-based system, or, you know, another cloud-based HCM system from, an Oracle competitor, or to stick with, your PeopleSoft system?
Well, I guess that depends on the organization and what's driving them to either move to software as a service or even just to a new ERP solution. So there are a lot of clients that are very happy with PeopleSoft and are continuing to upgrade, and I like the reassurance that PeopleSoft will be there for an unlimited amount of time, at least that's what they say. And then there are others that really want to move to more of the SaaS model, and that's how their organization is that's what their organization is moving to. That's their IT strategy. So, again, there's not a pat answer to that. It really is what are your business drivers and what's your IT strategy moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll just add, you know, Oracle's released to its customers a roadmap to showing PeopleSoft at least out to 2023. So we know there's going to be enhancements and maintenance and that product at least until that date, and indicated much longer, but that's how the roadmap exists currently. So certainly, as Ann indicated, it really becomes a business decision as to what clients want to do and their objectives. PeopleSoft is going to continue to enhance the product, but yet there's Fusion, which also has its product set and certainly has its pros and cons as well. So although there are going to be individual decisions that these businesses make, but a coexistence strategy is something that is certainly viable, where customers can have both PeopleSoft and New Fusion applications to fill any void or requirement that they have in their needs.
Mm-hmm. So I know that this is an individual decision, that, you know, company by company, but can you guys explain some of the pros and cons, you know, for either sticking with PeopleSoft or maybe moving part of your system over to Fusion, or, you know, all of it?
Well, I think some of the again, a lot of it depends on what your IT strategy is, but some of the pros of moving maybe your talent management to Fusion would be if your organization is really starting to migrate towards a SaaS solution, although Fusion could be on-premise as well. But it really would depend upon what you're looking for in the product, and if there are things in Fusion that enhance the business process or meet the business requirements better than the things in PeopleSoft. And I honestly don't have a product comparison that I could refer to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys haven't worked very much with Fusion?
I've seen Fusion, but I have not worked directly with Fusion. I've been through a number of Oracle briefings and demos, and of course on the YouTube, seen different demos, but have not had a implementation experience with it.
Okay, so getting back to PeopleSoft, this new release, what do you recommend clients to do? If they decide that they want to upgrade, is there anything that they should do in order to prepare for that upgrade? And, you know, what are kind of some of the steps that they should go to before implementing the new version?
Well, we already have proposals out for, even though the product has just been announced to be released in about a week from now, people have already started putting out RFPs for 9.2 upgrades. So we have a couple of those in process. And so we haven't really seen anything that they need to do differently than they've done in the past. So preparing for a new release is just making sure that your hardware, software is up to date, and you check the people, you check the Oracle customer service to make sure that, you know, your hardware and software can support the new version. So other than that, unless Larry, you can think of anything else, I don't think there's anything they really need to do to prepare.
Not so much preparing for the implementation, but certainly preparing to make themselves aware of what is in 9.2. There's a lot of documentation that Oracle's put out in terms of the release value proposition. Then they'll have release notes. There's tool set that will show all the various upgrades of functionality between 9.1 to 9.2. So there's a tremendous amount of documentation that's out there that will help them prepare to understand what's in 9.2. So they can start making decisions about what functionality they may consider or may not consider that would be relevant to their business. That's one step I would suggest they take.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in your opinion, I mean, is it, you know, quote, worth it to upgrade to 9.2? I mean, is it that much of a new functionality that could be possibly valuable for a company that it would the value proposition would say, yeah, sure, go ahead?
Well, a lot of that, again, depends upon where you're at. If you're at 9.1 and your business requirements are being met, then there's probably not a lot of drivers to 9.2 for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at 8.9 or 9.0, I think it's really worth taking a look at 9.2 and assessing if some of these new features and enhancements could really help you from a business and a meeting business requirements and productivity standpoint, and also elimination of customizations, again, because of the how highly configurable a lot of the transactions now are.
Yep, and I would just add to that, you know, we talked a little bit about the work centers, and that is that can be a huge advantage for some organizations to have all of that content in terms of what you do on a daily basis for your particular role and function on one dashboard. That can really increase user productivity. And if we go back to what we talked about with taking 9.2s and 9.2 and utilizing the new tool set, and that really bridges the gap between PeopleSoft ERP and business intelligence,
mm-hmm.
merging the worlds of running your business and managing your business with new information and giving people the tools and the capabilities to make sound and better business decisions. So there's a lot of value there when you combine 9.2 and tools 8.5.3 to allow multiple organizations to be able to just improve their overall decision-making.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just in general, what are some of your guys' patented tips for success in terms of new implementations?
Sure. Well, one of the things that we really espouse, especially at the beginning of an engagement, whether it's an implementation or an upgrade, is that we have a 2 to 3 day workshop where we bring all the key stakeholders together, and we ultimately out of that comes a project charter. But we bring everybody together where we talk about what everybody's objectives are, what are the collective objectives, what are the risk factors and how we're going to mitigate those. Critical success factors are defined. And so in a very short period of time, the entire team comes together and agrees upon what this project is, what it's going to accomplish, and how we're going to do it and how we're going to be successful doing it. And we found that that is that has been very, very successful, in that you're not 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months down the road, everybody finds out they've all been marching towards different objectives and have different measurements of success.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it sounds simplistic, but it's actually quite powerful. And our clients have really said that it's helped them a great deal. Larry, you want to add to that?
Yeah. You know, as Ann mentioned, it sounds simplistic, but if you look at it from a greater perspective, you can be on time and on budget. But if the implementation, the upgrade, doesn't achieve the business goals that you set out to establish, it still may not be a successful project. So tying the solution to business objectives is very important. You also have to make sure you do the typical things you do in the implementation. You manage scope. You have the proper resources trained. Beyond that, you need to make sure that you evaluate your customizations. You design your customizations in a way that can be upgraded and supportable. You want to make sure, you know, at the end of the upgrade that you implemented a solution that's going to be sustainable, that you can maintain and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that all of the end users are properly trained. Don't cut back on your time for testing. Make sure you allow adequate time for all of the testing as part of the implementation phase. Those are all key things that organizations need to make sure they do during the implementation itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we touched on this.
I say one other thing that we've seen over and over again is make the commitment to have your people participate in the project. We've had projects that we've come into after the fact and find that some of the reasons that the client's having problems is because they didn't participate and they don't know what they have and they don't know how to use it properly,
mm-hmm.
and there's not buy-in to the system. So that's a key factor. People think they can cut short there, but it's no matter what the ERP is, that's a key factor in success.
So we touched on this a bit before, the kind of hybrid cloud and on-premise approach that Oracle is marketing. And I wanted to ask, do you think that's an effective approach to moving to the cloud kind of piece by piece? And also, what are some of the possible kind of complications that could come from that kind of an approach?
I think it's feasible. I think that the for instance, if you want to do performance management and you decide that you want to have an evolutionary approach to the cloud, then moving to PeopleSoft in the cloud performance management is doable, and the integration exists. I think that with I don't know this for a fact, but there just could be confusion on the part of the users as to look and feel. So they're in one system in PeopleSoft, and then they go to the Fusion Cloud, and it's a different look and feel. So that may be just something that, that organizations have to take into consideration with their change management program. But other than that, I think if the organization wants to take step by step and understand what SaaS really means and being in the cloud means, it, the coexistence is a good approach to do that.
Yeah, I agree. It allows them to, one, take a step into another technology that they may or may not have experience with. If they've been on PeopleSoft for a number of years and they're switching technologies, so instead of doing it all at once, they can take steps towards that, which will certainly mitigate their risk.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they can evaluate if the new technology is going to work for them, and they can properly make those decisions about how quickly they want to move to one technology versus the other.
Because it's a mind and culture shift. So for PeopleSoft, customers have been able to customize, hopefully intelligently and not helter-skelter, but they've been able to customize to meet their unique business requirements in a SaaS model. Although there's extensions that you can do in Oracle Fusion, it's not customizable, and that's a culture and mindset that is very different. And I think taking a step-by-step or a coexistence approach is a good starting point for organizations that are used to customizing as they go along.
I'm Emma Snyder, Associate Editor of SearchFinancialApplications.com, and I've been talking with Ann Meyer and Larry Zagata from MyPro Consulting. For more information on Ann and Larry's consultancy, visit MyProConsulting.com. And to keep up with all the latest HR technology news, check out SearchFinancialApplications.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.